This is a Jim Bob Jones production.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Would there be anything else, sir?
Yeah, I emptied the register and put the money in the bag.
Excuse me?
So give me your money and all of it, and don't fuck with me! Now move! Open the safe, Pops. Open the goddamn safe!
We don't have a safe.
Shit! There's your goddamn safe! Open, son of a bitch! No, one, two, three, you better open that, son of a bitch! Come on, come on! I'm gonna blow her brains out.
I'll open the safe.
Good boy. Better open at a gun at three. One, two.
Drop the gun. You are under arrest. Good night.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, your friendly Pinhead 198 back with another regular episode. And I'd like to start off first and foremost by saying, from the bottom of my heart, fuck Jason Blum. From the bottom of my heart, fuck David Gordon Green, Davey. And from the bottom of my heart, while we're at it, fuck you too, Stephen King, because you can never shut the fuck up about Trump and just write a book or make a movie, even though you're a hack now. So fuck all three of you. You win the award for biggest fuck-ups in horror running today. I'd also like to say, on a serious note, thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of those who did check out the last two Phantasm audio commentaries. We will be doing the fourth and final one very soon. We will be watching the movie. We'll see what the fate of Mike and the gang happens. You know, what happens to them? Will the villainous tall man from another planet win? Excuse me. We shall see. Some already know, some may not, but we'll find out in the commentary. We'll talk about theories, spoilers, all this other shit. You know, we'll discuss maybe going into Ravager, but that's not what we're here today. Today's episode, we're going to talk about a few things. It's the Halloween hangover episode. Ate too much candy, drank too much alcohol, went out and had a good time, if that's what you did. I had to work, so I watched the freaks come out to my job. Some of them dressed up, and I'll tell you, some of them didn't need the makeup. So anyway, at any rate, we're going to be discussing Five Nights at Freddy's, The Exorcist Believer, because we have to talk about it at this point. I'm going to talk about my experience with RoboCop Rogue City, the new game, the new RoboCop game. That's why we had that intro. I remember the edited version of that. It was, why me? Why me? When I was a kid and it was on TV, I was like, what's the point of even having this fucking thing on? You have to edit over half the movie, especially when Murphy gets his ass blown away. So there's no point. But, you know, you do what you do. But we'll be talking about the new game because I'm about a couple of hours into a few hours. I'm close to really getting on the grind, or I will have beaten it by the end of my weekend. I'm pretty sure I'm enjoying it, but I got some gripes with it. There's some major things that I'm like, and I give them passes. We'll get into, as we get into the review, the semi-review, I'll give them a pass because they're not a AAA developer. We're not talking about EA. We're not talking about Activision. We're not talking about Rockstar, Take-Two. We're not talking about Bethesda, the big boys. This is a lower independent company. They did the Terminator game. They did a god-awful Rambo game. But they redeemed themselves with Terminator Resistance, because Terminator Resistance was great. I had a blast playing that. And there was a lot of times in that game where you felt the tension of being in the resistance fighting against the fucking HK, the fucking Terminators. Like, HK is the hunter killers. I really enjoyed that game for what it was. It wasn't perfect, and neither is this game, but we'll discuss some of the things. And then we'll start off, I guess I'll start off by some shit I watched. This horror movie season, I really did not do well because I watched a lot of films that I have not seen before, and I've watched some shit that was fucking dreck. Some of it was really good. Some of the things I saw before, I was like, okay, that's interesting. But some of the shit, like Five Nights at Freddy's and The Exorcist, and there's a couple of other culprits that are out there that were just The Nun Chapter 2, which is just, it was a harsh horror movie season, which is why I'm going to have a reset this November, and I'm going to completely watch nothing but horror movies, and I must really go into the obscure, because I've seen some grot, I've seen some great. I mean, I've seen some shit that's embarrassing, I'm ashamed, this is like a Serbian film, Irreversible, which is just a fucking trash movie. It tries to be artistic, but it ain't just the 5-10 minute rape scene, which I do not like because I cannot stand the three things that I fucking hate the most is abusive women, especially when it comes to just bashing their skulls in and raping them. I don't care how well the material is. Pedophilia and child murder, shit like that, which we'll get into with Five Nights at Freddy. You guys are loving this movie and celebrating how great it is. You're glorifying child murder. But, you know, that's a discussion we'll get into toward the review. And shit with animals. Those three things really get on my nerves and really make me think you're a poor fucking hack director or writer when you have to lean into that disgusting, degenerate, low-hanging fruit. It's not talented at all. And some of these movies, these fucking gore hounds out here are calling, especially a friend of mine I have, I won't mention his name, but I met him in film school in Los Angeles, and he's one of these types that loves this fucking shit like Irreversible. Heroes are like Ted Bundy, like real nut mutant fucking nut hut types that you don't watch them. They're not on a watch list. You be careful because they might be the next school shooter or serial killer. Because it's just a depraved garbage like the Vomit Slaughter Dolls or whatever the fuck that series is. August Underground's another piece of shit that's just literally, and especially a couple of them, is just a dedication glorifying how you can beat the shit out of women. And it's low-budget horror that's just, it don't belong in our community. It's the dreck of fucking society, let alone the horror movie community. And it's an embarrassment that's been on this society for a good 20 years now, probably even longer, but we'll be nice about it. It's been a stain on fucking horror movie, making it embarrassing and hard to defend that I watch, or anybody watches horror movies when you have that shit out in the atmosphere. I understand that it's lower underground shit and you have to seek it out or have someone that's a nut that'll show it to you like I got to with Irreversible and August and the Vomit Slaughter Dolls and all this shit. But the fact that it is out, in this, just being out there at all in any instance, is disgusting, and it's an embarrassment to fucking horror. It's an embarrassment to anything, but on the subject matter and the relevancy we're talking about horror, it's embarrassing. So I'm trying to get into more obscure, you know, I don't care about ultraviolet, I just want to get into these more obscure shit, like, there's a movie called Sangria, Sangri or some shit, and it looks weird. I found out somewhere to watch it. I think it's on Tubi, if I'm not mistaken, or Pluto, but it's supposed to be batshit crazy. And I want to see shit like that. I've already seen House, and no, I'm not talking about the movie that everybody knows. I'm talking about this Japanese movie. That movie was weird. It was cool. I have a copy of it. I got it on Criterion. For an ungodly amount, because Criterion, they're the mafia fucking obscure movies, especially horror shit. But I've seen that, but I want to see more movies like that. I want to see more obscure stuff. The mainstream shit is we'll get into, especially with The Exorcist, which was a fucking joke. I had the lowest expectations going into that movie, and they were matched 10 times that. If you could find below rock bottom, Exorcist did it. So, but the mainstream horror films are just pissing me off. They are not cutting it up to snuff to what it should be, especially when you have this big of a production value, you have a budget. There's no excuse for it anymore. If you're going to be lazy, fuck you. I'm not going to waste my time or money on your asses. So let's just get into the Exorcist Believer review. I'll do very briefly because I already did a full spoiler-filled review on filmmaker Mike and the boys, but I'm going to try and articulate a little bit more. This movie is offensive on so many levels, and I don't get offended by movies, but this movie is absolutely offensive. For one, it's not scary. And I might have been able to give you a pass on the fact that your movie's bad, but you have a bad, bland, boring, unscary horror film. It's the worst combination you can do in any film. I don't care if it's an action, drama, comedy. If you have none of the fundamental elements of what the genre you are doing in, you're a failure. It's just the facts. And you should either be teaching, or you should be bagging groceries at your local fucking Walmart, or helping people do it at the local machines where at your local Walmart, because you should not be doing this. You're not good enough. You're just not. And I'm not even going to give you the insult of calling you a hack, because a hack implies that someone had talent at one point and they lost it. Now they're a hack. You had to have had talent to even have had to be called a hack. So you're not even at that level. You're not even on level one. You're on the fucking tutorial stage, David. You're still on the tutorial stage and you cannot beat it. Like some of those fucking game journalists during Cuphead when that first came out. So you're not even a hack. You're not even on level one. You can't get there. Halloween Ends proves it. This movie proves it. And Halloween Kills to a certain extent proves it. You need to go. And Jason Blum, I'd say you need to go, but you just had a tremendous win with Five Nights at Freddy's, which we'll get into that, why you could have made so much more money if you guys, you and Universal, hadn't been such dumb fucks. I gotta take a drink for this one, because Exorcist Believer, it's a sleeper. That should be the next one. Exorcist the Sleeper, and then Exorcist the Creeper, and then we can be done with this. One thing that needs to be established if you do make a sequel, David needs to be pulled out. Absolutely pulled out. And so does that whole writing team. McBride, him, his butt buddies, all of them. They need to be pulled out and thrown to the fucking sea so we can get new blood. If you have, you shouldn't make another one at all, to be quite honest. Because why you thought The Exorcist was this huge IP that everybody clamored to, the first one's the only successful, majorly successful film. That's a fact. You can look the numbers up. None of the other films have been successful. Not even the cult hit Exorcist 3. Okay? None of these have been hits. So why you thought you were going to do what you did with Halloween with this shit is just beyond me. And especially putting it up against Taylor Swift. I don't care if you did move it a week back. You're fucking stupid going up against Tay-Tay and those rabid fans. You deserve to get your dick kicked in the dirt. And the movie was released on digital and fucking for rental and to buy a week and a half after its release. That's how bad this is. I know these films come out fast, but this movie came out a week and a half after its initial release, its worldwide release. That's pathetic. God, is it pathetic. You're not even a bottom feeder at this point, because the bottom feeders are in the upper echelon compared to you. God, I got a drink. Sorry, but I got it. Because it's mind numbing. This takes incompetence at a whole new level. And I don't understand how this guy can. He has to have some kind of nasty Jeffrey Epstein blackmail on some people, Jason, anybody. Because that's the only explanation I can understand that this man continues to grift his way through horror and make, he's failing upwards. I don't understand how you do that. He's climbing up by failing. Like, how you do this, I don't understand. The movie is a mess. It doesn't even understand what the, not just the original movie is, it doesn't even understand what the other piss poor movies are about. It has no clue. It literally wants to be, it is an average demonic possession movie disguised as an exorcist film. It completely spits in the face of the, with stupid lines like, well, I couldn't be an exorcist because of the patriarchy. That's the way I feel about it. The patriarchy, by the way, you had to go to and throw yourself on your hands and knees to actually have them come in. The two people that not only risked their lives but their internal souls and could be damned for all eternity, but you know, the patriarchy held you back. It's lazy booking and shitty writing like that that just boggles the mind and aggravates you. I will admit, and I don't know why, I've seen it once again, one time more since, and it is a 1 out of 10. I'm not even being funny or facetious. It is a 1 out of 10. It is not even worth a Netflix and chill where you have it on in the background. I would even argue if it was worth your time watching it streamed for free. I would argue if it was worth your time watching it if someone let you borrow their DVD or Blu-ray copy. It is on levels of incompetence that has never been seen before. I've never seen it, and I've been around quite some time. I just had my third birthday a couple weeks ago in October, so I've been around the bush. I was born, but not yesterday. So I've been around not as long as some of y'all other old farts out there, especially some of you walking around in your little reclinamite automatic fucking wheelchair with your oxygen tank still smoking 20 cigarettes a day. You nut jobs, but I've been around long enough to know that this shit's a fucking joke, and enough's enough. I will not be watching another Exorcist film ever again. I don't care who does it, and especially if it's David Gordon Green. I will not be watching another David Gordon Green film. I don't care if he gets his hands on Hellraiser, which I doubt it will happen because Clive Barker is on the warpath right now, and he ain't putting up with dumb shit. So that I'm not worried about. So I would be more worried about Phantasm than Hellraiser at this point, because Clive Barker's just, he ain't just about the bag anymore. He's rich now because of certain deals he's made for Hellraiser recently. So he don't need the money. He ain't fucking around. So I don't see that happening. But if he gets Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street or Candy, whatever, I ain't doing it. He's not even a hack. He's at the tutorial stage in his life as far as horror movie directing is concerned. We need to move on. I mean, callbacks to every single, you're not trying to be The Exorcist, which you stated in an interview. You're just trying to do your own Exorcist film, but you call back to everything like flickering lights and dogs having a huge fight like they did in Iraq or wherever the hell they were in the original movie. Flashing lights across the girl's face like he did with Pazuzu and the other, ooh, you know. Loud, you know, the Diamond Dallas Page effect, the quiet, quiet, bang, quiet, quiet, bang. Ooh, yeah, you're really doing the Lord's work out here, having original concepts, doing shit that's been done for 30 fucking years at least. And doing it far worse. Doing it far, far worse. Good job, Davey. But that's my review, 1 out of 10. And it's lucky to get that, and the only reason why it gets that, it's just because I get to see Ellen's eyes gouge the fuck out, and at this point she deserves it, especially for allowing, I don't care why she took the money and how noble the reason was, I don't give a fuck, you deserve to get your fucking, actually they should have just cut your head off and used it as a fucking soccer ball for you to participate in this shit and ruin your own legacy. So quite frankly, fuck you too, but that's the only reason why. It was good to see her for a cup of coffee. And I'd say it would be longer to drink your Starbucks cup of coffee than she was in this film. So that's the only reason why it gets a one. And a cameo from Linda Blair at the end, because she still, for her age, looks good. So that's why it gets a one, those two things. The small 15-second, 10-15-second cameo. I think it was five of Linda Blair saying, "Oh, mommy, I've missed you." Well, whatever. It's fucking garbage. And even then, it's an insult to garbage. So, fuck David Gordon Green, like I said earlier, and fuck Jason Blum. Which leads us to the next little treat. I got the treat to see Five Nights at Freddy's because it was free on the cock. And this is where we get in the stupidity. It was streamed same day on Peacock as it was in the movie theaters. And Cox making his run these last couple weeks, I tell you, especially with Crown Jewel coming up at 10 in the morning on Saturday as I'm recording this, because it is Friday. What a treat that'll be. The beginning of my day off will be to watch Roman Reigns retain his title once again. Make no, you know, the Jason Blum of sports entertainment. But anyway, the point is, Peacock, the cock, released this the same day, which is stupid, because I don't understand how you, Jason, or even how Universal, or especially you, Jason, you're supposed to be hip with this new shit, with these people, with the changing generations. I know Five Nights at Freddy's not new. I'm just saying you should know the rabid fan base, and the fact that you guys did not just release this exclusively in theaters and make more money for yourselves blows my mind. But hey, kudos to you for being stupid fucks. You're the last of the big spenders. Congratulations. Take another drink before we get in. Five Nights at Freddy's was better than Exorcist. That's about the biggest compliment I can give it. And at the same time, it's the biggest diss you could give it to, because you're only as good as, you know, a propeller hat wearing drool bucket motherfucker. That's not hard to beat. So, congratulations on that. You were better. And it's not even scary, but it was still scarier than The Exorcist, believer. Five Nights at Freddy's is a demonstration on how low horror has come. I've played the games. I played the first three games. When it was at its peak popularity, when I think about the third game came out, I went down all the rabbit holes, learned the lore. The lore, to a certain extent, is interesting on certain aspects, and then on other aspects, it's fucking stupid. The games are not scary. I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm not a 13, 14-year-old boy. Once again, the Diamond Dallas Page, quiet, bang shit. The jump scares don't impress me. Like my girl Shania Twain once said back in the day, that don't impress me much. At all. I had a debate with one of the people that I talked to, someone that went and said, Five Nights at Freddy's, not only one of the scariest video games of all times, that movie was the scariest thing they've seen. And now, granted, they're a little younger. They're not 14 or 15. I think the kid's about 18, 19 years old. I worked with, and I'm like, how could you not be scared by that movie? I said simply, and I wasn't trying to be a dick, I watch real horror films. And I'm not talking about, I've been watching these things since I was 6 years old. Real shit that you shouldn't be watching, by the way. Five Nights at Freddy's, if I had a 13-year-old boy, a daughter or son, even 12 or 11, I would more than be happy with letting them watch and see Five Nights at Freddy's and playing the games, because there's no spawn of mine, especially if it got any of my DNA, fucked up person I am, would be scared of it. It wouldn't traumatize them in the least. It's not scary. The story's not really scary. It's about child murder. And at the end of the day, you can do all the convoluted story bullshit and the spiritual shit. And it's about a fucking lunatic serial killer that murders children by putting them in spring traps and crushing them and turning them into animatronic fucking dolls. Puppets. Excuse me. I think I might be getting sick. And after watching all this grot, who could blame me? Anyway, there's, and as a Five Nights at Freddy's fan, I don't understand how you could even enjoy this all the way through, because it's not even honest to the Five Nights at Freddy video games all the way. Especially with spoilers, I'm going to just spoil the whole damn thing. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There you go. The William Afton shit at the very end, it's great to see Matthew Lillard. I love him. Love him. And even though I don't get much, I'll take what I can get. And it's great. But the M. Night Shyamalan twist reveal at the end, and his daughter being the fucking detective / security guard of Freddy Fazbear's, like, it was poor, misguided, lazy bullshit. And I went into this not even having any expectations, not caring or not. I didn't go into, oh, I'm going to hate this. I didn't go in and say, I'm going to love it. I was like, let's see what we see. Let's see what they do. And they couldn't even execute certain points of their own story lore from the first games. It's like, okay, here we go again. You guys said it in the said it going toward the movie's release. This is for the fans, so some of you really ain't gonna like it, especially critics. I don't even see how some of this could be for the fans, because there's a fucking slumber party with the fucking animatronic killers and a little girl, because there's a subplot with a lonely little girl that befriends the fucking animatronic killer, supposed to be killer robots that are possessed by the spirits of the murdered children that stays, but because they're murdered children and they're being possessed by these spirits and she's a child, we have to sympathize with the killer, because that's another new trend next to fucking trauma. We have to sympathize with Michael. We have to sympathize with Fred Krueger. We have to sympathize with Leatherface. We have to sympathize with Jason Voorhees and understand why they're a killing machine. Fuck that shit. It's what made fucking season one of Chucky so brilliant. Besides the carnage candy and all the other and the good storytelling, their origin story was simply Don Mancini giving a fuck you to that shit, saying there ain't no origin story. He's just a fucked up psychopath. That's it. Nobody cares his mama didn't hug him and breastfed him until he was 17. Nobody cares that his daddy whipped him with the belt like we've all been whipped with the belt. Look, I don't like it, but the fact of the matter is, when we're going into a horror movie where we're supposed to suspend our disbelief and just turn our brains off and escape something, we don't need a fucking psychological dissertation on why he's a troubled killing machine. Shut the fuck up. And once again, we get it with Five Nights at Freddy's in an extent where we have to sympathize because they're the spirits of the dying children. So that leads to a fucking slumber party in the middle of the Chuck E. Cheese. Freddy Fazbear's, because it's no similarity whatsoever to Chuck E. Cheese or Panda Island or whatever these other offshoots. I've heard of some like the Bears and Friends or Critter Country or whatever. You're not, you know, copying that at all. You never were. We have a slumber party in the middle of the fucking Chuck E. Cheese, the Freddy Fazbear Pizzeria. And everybody's having a good old time. And then it all leads to the big reveal with William Afton. He's the one that killed the kids. He's the one that put him in the spring traps. No duh. Even like, regardless of if you played the games or not, you saw it was literally screaming at you at the beginning of the movie. Hey! William Afton, Willard's character, he's the murderer, just so you know. It literally screams it at you, the way they set up blocking and the story dialogue. Without telling you, they scream it at you that he is the murderer. You'd have to have the vision of Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles, rest his soul, to not see it coming. Okay? Like, there's no possible way. And with some of the things they say about Stevie Wonder, maybe not even Stevie could say it. Because apparently he could see more than letting on. But anyway, it's a discussion for another day. At least this bullshit nonsensical, not moronic garbage where Afton comes out and he's going to kill and then they band together like the Avengers. Once again, just like The Exorcist, we got to have this Avengers shit where the things, the little girl has to look through the walls of colorings and she shows that there's a picture of them being murdered by him and they turn and they use their programming and turn on him to save the girl and the guy and they kill Afton. And then that's pretty much the end. Setting up for another, you know, the other Yucko Fuckos from the other games coming because there is going to be a sequel. It is almost greenlit now because they made too much money. They're going to make a good amount of money this coming weekend because they don't really have competition. It's not until The Marvels comes out and that movie's going to be a fucking dud. But even Marvel's on the 10th is what's going to push Five Nights at Freddy's out. But they still got one more week to make a good chunk of cheddar. And they've already made a huge amount. They could have made a lot more if you had any brain cells in your fucking brain. And you didn't smoke them all away and keep your heads buried in that damn cocaine bag. You guys love the booger sugar too much. And that's why you make piss poor fucking movies that are brain dead. Like, that make no sense and waste everybody's time and money. This movie wasn't terrible like Exorcist. I agree with some people. This is a great gateway for kids for horror. That's why I say you could take your 11-year-old, 12-year-old, definitely 13-year-old. Because the kills are minimal and the violence is almost non-existent. It's more implied violence than it is what you see. Screams and shadows and shit like that to really, you know. And that's what amuses kids. Like I said, I wasn't over the moon, man. I'm sorry to you Five Nights at Freddy's fans out there. I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm not a 13, 14-year-old boy. Go back to Shania. It don't impress me much. However, it was a much better experience than The Exorcist Believer because The Exorcist Believer was fucking garbage. So I'll give this one a good 5 to 6 out of 10. It wasn't bad, and it's free. Like, you can see it on Peacock. So you don't have to slough out to the theater to see it. It's not a must, but I've seen far worse. But it could have been so much better. There's a lot of wasted potential in this movie because it's just too busy focused on sniffing its own farts. For a lack of better analogy, it's just, it literally is obsessed with sniffing its own farts and jerking off in the mouths of the brain dead fan base that was going to go see this movie, regardless of if the critics loved it, regardless of if the movie was well received or not. They were going to go see it anyway, so, because they're robots. And that's a good segue to, you know, our next review. Speaking of robots, the RoboCop Rogue City. I tell you. I'm sorry about my voice. I really think I am getting sick. So let's take some of Grandpa's cough medicine. And we'll continue on. Like John Mellencamp once said, that hurts so good. I was very excited for this game. Couldn't wait. When they announced it a couple years ago, because they've announced this for a while, like 2 years ago. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I could not wait. Anything RoboCop, even if it ends up being shit, I will ingest. The only thing I have not seen is the RoboCop remake. Not that I will refuse to see it. I have a copy of it because it came with my trilogy pack. They practically gave it to you, so that tells you a lot about the remake. But I just ingest RoboCop. I'm getting a NECA. I'm going to get a couple of NECAs. I had one, but it got destroyed in the move, and it pissed me off. I don't even want to talk about it, because to this day, I'm still angered about it. Like, my Xenomorph got fucked up, my Michael Myers from Halloween 2 got fucked up, and my RoboCop got fucked up. So, oh yeah, my Ed 209, his left leg got broken. So that was a real treat, and I just don't want, but I will be replacing shit and putting it a way where it cannot be destroyed, even if I do move in the future. So I was looking very much forward to this game, and I gotta say, for the couple of hours I played it, I have enjoyed it. And like I said, this isn't a AAA developer, so I give them a passes, but there are some things in this game that are just frustrating. One thing, they don't smooth out any of the edges of the characters. Like, none of the fucking, I don't know how you would say it, the computer graphic images are not smoothed out. So the hair looks wonky, and when they're talking, there's black goo, like, from fucking Prometheus that just comes out of their mouth. And some of the times when they're talking, it makes it look like every fucking character has gap teeth with black fucking Prometheus X-Files goo coming out. And it's like, I know you guys don't have a lot of money, but that's simple shit that you can do at home on your fucking Windows or fucking on your MacBook and smooth out edges. That's simple shit. That's grade one basics you learn in films. Fuck, you don't even have to go to film school or any engineering school. You could read a book, look up a YouTube video. But that kind of shit should have been smoothed out in post and shouldn't have been. It's a nitpick, but it's distracting as fuck. I don't know how it works for the PlayStation 5 or PC people. I'm playing on Xbox, the next-gen Xbox, and there are points where the system will glitch out, and there's moments where you really do feel like RoboCop, and that's good. And then there's times where it takes it to an extent where you feel too much like RoboCop, and you're like, okay, this is insane. There's a glitch that happened in my game where I was, the controls are actually really well. You move, you can even run as sprint at least. And I know that's a big control. RoboCop shouldn't be sprinting. He doesn't sprint. Shut the fuck up, because if he walked like RoboCop walked, we would have a fucking game that took 35 to 40 hours for the first three missions alone. You'd be on it for like 6 months before you'd beat the game if you were lumbering around every area like RoboCop, especially the distances you have to go in certain areas to go complete certain side missions and missions in general. It would be a fucking, it'd be a 200-hour game. Like, so stop. So it's fine that he sprints. I understand the anger, but the vitriol isn't necessary because that's just the way it is. We got to get through the game. It's still a first-person shooter. It would be the longest first-person shooter in fucking gaming history. Give me a break. You won't complain about that shit on fucking Call of Duty, though, by the way. So just sit down and shut up, please. But there's a moment where you're walking, and I had a glitch out, and it made me feel stiff. I could barely turn the control over to the right or to the left. And when you're in a battle, you're just getting shot up. And for whatever reason, I know RoboCop's not immortal. He's not the Highlander. Even the Highlander's not immortal. You cut his fucking head off. I know RoboCop's not an unstoppable killing machine, especially on the level of, like, Terminator. But for crying out loud, I'd understand a rocket or some shit. But, like, when pistol grenades, you eat through bullets and it takes a lot of your life and you have to recharge. There's no end. It's not like Halo where your shit respawns. You have to find core parts to put into RoboCop or build your vitality enough or engineering enough to where you can rig into fuse boxes and replenish your health. He gets his ass fucking wrecked. If there's a gang of four people in a room, you better be taking fucking cover. RoboCop shouldn't be taking cover, but you better be taking cover like you're in a Halo or Call of Duty game, or he is going to be shut down and you're going to die. It's insane how little RoboCop how little damage RoboCop can take. We've all especially people that are going to play this game, we know what he looks like, we know his armor. We saw him in the fucking scene that I just posted in the beginning of the intro. He's getting shot with a fucking submachine gun. Just, fuck me, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And you see barely grazes, but that's it. He's not falling to the ground going, I'm not able to. Like, it's insane how much damage he takes with fucking weak-ass weapons. That is a huge, huge pet peeve of mine. That's not even a nitpick, because it's not only frustrating when you're playing the game, it goes against the canon and lore of RoboCop. Even in the shittiest movies, it took a lot to damage him. Like when he got smashed into oblivion in RoboCop 2 and they cut him, they had to cut him in half and saw off his leg and use fucking metal, like magnets and shit. They didn't go up with a bunch of handguns and go da 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 and unload their clips and he was dead and he was done. That's insane. That is insane. You're telling me he can take a fucking shot from Ed 209, be damaged, but still manage to go through. He can get a blast from Kane in RoboCop 2, but in this game, a 9mm is going to take him out. As long as you get a gang of people shooting him consistently with 9mm, he's easy fodder. That's insane. And that is one of my biggest anger, like, because you have to take cover. I found myself, and granted, I am playing on a hard difficulty, but still, it's insane that you have to fucking take cover that often. And by the way, I've even tried it on a lower difficulty. I went back and tried it on a lower difficulty. It's still, you just absorb bullets and lose life quick. So that is unbalanced, and I don't understand why. But I, like I said, I am playing it on a harder difficulty, but still, it's like, to have to be like it's a Call of Duty game and take cover and then pop up and then take cover and then pop up. I would argue it's more imperative to fucking do it here than it is in a Call of Duty game, because at least if you cover, you have unlimited health with a Call of Duty game. This, you don't find any core, energy cores, and you're fucked. You're gonna shut down, and you gotta do it all over again. And the checkpoints are fucking ridiculous, too. Some of the checkpoints, you get a checkpoint that ain't from fucking 10, 15 minutes prior to the shit you do, so you'll be repeating things if you restart from the checkpoint. There's, like, it tries to be detective mode in Batman, the Arkham games, and it's a very poor, it's a poor man's version of it. It's actually frustrating, because unlike the Arkham game where you can move around in detective mode, this shit locks you down like a robot, which makes sense, and you can only move stiffly through the crime scene locked into that evidence area. You can't move around like when you're Batman. And once again, I'm not naive and fucking dull to the fact that RoboCop's different from the detective Batman, but still, it's a little frustrating if you're going to add that, which is a major mechanic throughout the entire game. It's a sub part of the fucking gameplay. So you're going to be dealing with it throughout the entirety of the game. And it's frustrating when it could have been worked on a little bit better. I know it sounds like, with ESPN sending another notification, I know it sounds like I'm trashing this game, but I'm really not. I'm not. Overall, with those nitpicks, those minor nitpicks, and once again, I have to keep beating this drum. This is not a AAA Major League Baseball team. We're in the minors here. For a minor league fucking baseball team, they're hitting some home runs with this game. It's not over yet. I'll have a full articulated review. It won't be a review because I pretty much reviewed it now. I'm having a blast with it. Regardless of what happens, I'm having a fucking great time. I didn't get the deluxe edition because I didn't need to. I didn't need to play it 48 hours early because I couldn't have anyway. I work a hectic schedule that just doesn't allow me to. I'm lucky to have been able to play what I've had been able to play so far. And this weekend, I'm beating it. There's no doubt in my mind I'm not beating this game, because I'm going to 100% this shit, get whatever trophies, the diamond trophy that you get in Xbox, to the platinum on PlayStation. I'm going to go all the way, and I'll have my full grade on, you know, the beginning of the Phantasm audio commentary, and then we'll get into the commentary. But right now, it's a decent game, and it's well worth the money I spent. I love RoboCop. I just fucking love RoboCop. Even the flawed RoboCop, like RoboCop 3, I'm not a huge fan of. But even then, if it's the only thing I can watch and there's no the RoboCop 2 or the original or in nobody's house and it's not available, I'll pop on RoboCop 3 just at the very least to see him fly at the end with his rocket, his jetpack. You know, blow up some Yakuza fucking ninja samurai robots. Like, But, you know, I love RoboCop. He's the one few things next to the Phantasm Sentinel Sphere that I would honestly consider getting a fucking tattoo of. And I'm not even a tattoo guy. I'm too grown to be dressing up, and I would consider throwing away all my dignity and pride on Halloween next year to dress up as RoboCop if the suit was authentic and it looked good. That's how obsessed with RoboCop I am. I love fucking RoboCop. And it's funny to watch my mom look at my face. She's like, "You're like a little kid again playing RoboCop." Because I love RoboCop. I even like saying RoboCop. That's why I keep saying RoboCop. It's fun to say RoboCop. I love RoboCop. So I can't wait to play some more of this game. I'm sure with its flaws, it'll still end up being a nice little treat. You know? Better than the treat we'll get with Crown Jewel and what we got with fucking Exorcist Believer. Those two are like having too much candy. You had too much Halloween candy. Your stomach sour. You get the shits, and then a couple hours later, you get constipated because your guts start going off. You had one too many Tootsie Rolls. Now you're just going to be backed up for the next couple hours, maybe even a day. Shouldn't have ate so much of that bucket of candy, stupid fuck, but that's what going to The Exorcist and watching Crown Jewel feels like. Being constipated after too much Halloween candy. So let that be a lesson to any of you who even think twice about wanting to see The Exorcist. Remember, it'll leave you constipated like having too much Halloween candy. Trick or treat, ladies and gentlemen. I love you. Thank you for taking your time out for this normal episode. The next one will be the final Phantasm 4 Oblivion audio commentary, and I'm looking forward to it because I've been having a great time with these things. And seeing as some of the views ain't ultra high, but they're higher than I expected, some people are at least taking time to listen to it. So we're just doing one more, though, because that's where we got to find out all the secrets and shit. So thank you guys for taking your time out of your day, for listening to this idiot ramble. I love you guys. Take care of yourselves. Peace.